Welcome, everyone. It is Tuesday. That means it's time for the wrestling show. I'm Cap Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, along with the usual, the guy who has all the dirt. That's why it's called the Dirty Sheets. It's Dirty Jesus himself, Mr. Billy Body.
Yeah, I would like this to be the Dirty Sheets Network, and I would like this show to be Wrestling Therapy, because you know I have that domain, and it's just sitting there, and I think that show was such a good show. And I think, but this show is also very much removed from that show. I just like it in name, but this show is nothing like that. This has become a proper 60-minute week of wrestling show. This is appropriately named, whilst also being stupidly named.
I know. It's like, well, it is what it is, right? It's a wrestling show. Everyone else racks their brain trying to figure out what to name their show.
I mean, it could be Week in Review or Week in Wrestling or some other even more generic shit. But I just think it's so generic, it's actually funny. Like the
That's
name
what's
of the,
funny about it, yeah.
like the name Dirty Sheets. Dirty Sheets is like a dirt sheet. It's called Dirty Sheets. And then the wrestling show that talks about wrestling each week. Oh, what's your wrestling show called? It's called the wrestling show.
And it's the NFL show, the wrestling show.
Yeah.
Well, let's don't get hurt yourself, to that. Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, what are we doing? SmackDown. Speaking of dirty sheets, the dirt sheet, I laugh every time they say it, too, because I'm like, oh, I'm waiting for someone to fuck up or some way, somehow say dirty sheets. It's regular old stuff about Mandy getting traded. I don't know who Miz is talking to get these deals done, where Mandy's moving over to Raw and causing a problem, and the Otis and Tucker thing with he's served with fucking legal papers. That this is retarded, the legal papers thing. So why would there be legal papers for Otis beating a guy up in wrestling? So everyone should be sued.
Yeah, I don't understand what that's about. It's such a weak story. It's just probably a case of them trying to move into something where they get the briefcase off him, or they've realized that they should never have done this. And I don't know what this was ever supposed to be. Was Mandy's supposed to be involved, whatever. I think even instead of doing this, what you do is you just shortcut it and you just say, fuck it, we made a mistake, we'll just use this for the tag titles. Mm-hmm. So now it can just be, we'll use it for any belt, because at least down the line you'll be wondering if the Money in a Bank can be used on the Intercontinental or US, or you can make a tag team or whatever. Nobody ever will. They'll all go for like the world titles except this goof. But this has to be better than what they're doing. I mean, unless they're desperately trying to move it on to someone else. And even if they do, if Miz and Morrison aren't going to be any better with it, so they would have to vacate it. I have no idea what this is. And yeah, beating someone up in your workplace isn't acceptable in your workplace. But if your workplace is WWE, your job is to just beat everybody up.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what this fucking stupid story is. I mean, he came down to the ring and interrupted their talk show. And then Miz is all like, "Ooh, he's
did
playing
you get enough?
Yeah, did you get enough? He's all playing into our hands and whatever." It's, I don't know. This is the worst thing on the show. Well, this show's been really good for weeks, but it starts real bad. It doesn't pick up till later. And when the show picks up, when Lacey Evans and Nikki are having a match, that's pretty bad start.
I was going to say, it didn't get great until Cesaro and Grand Metalik, right?
You know, I was reading a review, right? I get these, I look at other people's like Raw and SmackDown results and reviews, and someone was saying, they gave this a B plus, and we're like, oh, such a shame on another brand, with another company with more time, Cesaro and Metalik would tear the house down. B plus. I was like, fuck me, these are so many different kinds of people like reviewing wrestling these days.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's just going, I want an actual nice wrestling match, something like that, sure. But
to say that 100% these two would tear the house down on the in the indies or AEW or something, so dumb. Like, even if they would, who cares?
SmackDown is finally picking up, as you said, because we get the moment of bliss, which, you know, other than Nikki being the worst actress, Bliss isn't far behind.
I don't think Bliss is that bad.
I think maybe Bliss is pretty fucking bad. I think you're hypnotized
by
her looks.
Yeah, well, I mean, her acting's not too bad when she goes into the trance and stuff later. I thought that was done okay. But, I mean, I'm just looking for something here to move away from the start that we've had. So, yeah, I mean, looking at Alexa, I guess, is fine. I mean, the match in the ring is terrible.
You know, I totally expected during this that because Alexa, you know, beat up Nikki, you know, even though it's fair because it was everyone for everyone. But when she announces Nikki, I 100% expected Nikki to walk out with like a look on her face like, what the fuck is up with you? And she comes out and does a regular gimmick, slapping her chest and fucking running around the stage like a fucking maniac with nobody there. She's the worst when it comes doing this kind of shit.
She's the worst. And for me, like, if I'm streamlining this division, I don't have a place for either of these two. Lacey can't work. They've messed up. At least she had like a unique gimmick, but they've totally messed it up because she's gone back and forth. Like, she came in with it. She couldn't really work, but the character was good. Then when they went over to the whole thing about her being a mum and doing things for her daughter and keeping notes and fans' notes in her boots, and then they turned her again on a karaoke contest. Like, this character is so dead that she can go. Nikki's terrible. Like, and I'm all for, like, you know, when people have a unique character and get themselves over. She was unique as the psycho that ran around with the wet hair and being a little fatty. Now that she's like normalized herself and she's not that psychotic and she's not ugly, like as fat and like, you know, repulsive, but she's not good looking either. Like, there's certain people where, you know, if they lose the weight, you say, oh, she's got a pretty face or whatever. She's nothing at all. And she's in this position where she can't act, her matches are not great, the uniqueness of her character, all that stuff that she was doing with Sanity and all that is gone. So she's a waste of a space as well. Anybody could be doing this role and be doing it better. So I don't have any employment for these guys if it's my company. Alexa, of course, is different because obviously she's now evolving into doing something else. I don't know if you were implying you don't like it at all, or whether you just don't like her acting.
No, I just don't like her acting. I think her acting is fucking horrible, and I think she thinks that she's better than she is. Nobody gets to Alana territory of thinking they're too big for themselves. That's a different world. But
it's all this improv like acting that that Alexa tries to throw in, and sometimes I don't know how to explain why it doesn't work, but it doesn't work.
We get Sasha, who's back, and thank God they killed her again because I was so worried that she's back already. I'm like, come on.
I'm still worried. I'm a little bit more comfortable that it isn't going to be at Hell in a Cell. But
really? I'm not. In a month, you know how quickly they heal.
She should be winning the Royal Rumble, and she should be out for a long time. I mean, she shouldn't heal from this. This has to be the WrestleMania match in front of crowds, hopefully, and everything. They need to sit on this. They don't need to have a Hell in a Cell match. There are feuds that they have that can go to Hell in a Cell. So I will just leave this be. I was glad they doubled down on the attack and she wasn't in the arena, because at least it looks like she won't be at Hell in a Cell. But you just never know. Because, I mean, they Bayley could just cut these promos for like 2-3 weeks, and then Sasha's next return is in the ring, and she just kicks up the mic and goes, in 2 weeks, it's me and you at Hell in a Cell, and then we're fucked.
It's very, very possible. AJ goes against Sami Zayn and actually rolls him up. So I go, okay, so this whole gimmick of him being the champion should be over with right now then, right? It's completely done.
But he's all like, it's non-title. That was non-title.
That is funny. Hardy does arrive with a ladder, and we are all in shock that this is going to be a triple threat ladder match for the IC title.
Yeah, Hardy announces it. I don't know what it is with Jeff Hardy, but I just find him to be really stale now. Maybe it's because I've seen it all before and seen all the stunts, and he's never been like a great talker. So when he's out there going, we need to settle this, this Sunday, we'll find out once and for all, and all this. It was like, it's just, it's that Hardy promo that I maybe, that style, maybe I've overheard it, but it doesn't work for me. I don't want him to win this match on Sunday, but I think that he will. Mm-hmm. And it is actually one of like only three matches that I'm even interested in, because when we move down to Raw, people won't believe, or if you've not watched Raw, you're just listening to the review first, you won't believe how they padded this card out to make every belt on the line. It's fucking ridiculous.
Explain a Samoan street fight for me.
Okay, I have this in my notes here where it says that the Samoan street fight is literally just a no DQ match, but they could have actually gone down the Samoan route. I dug up a whole bunch of Samoan weapons they could have used. They could have been...
Well, they would have killed each other.
Yeah, they could have all come down in those like togas or skirts or whatever they were. Second of all, I found out they use clubs, axes, spears, slings, and in the late years, firearms, which they probably couldn't use. But I think they definitely could have gone with like stones, axes, clubs, spears, slings. I mean, if you want to,
they could have went with that.
I think so. You could have like gimmicked them. You could have got them from like a prop studio or something. But
fucking hacking each other with machetes. Well, you know, that's not a crazy thing to use machetes since Jason's on Raw. So they could have just borrowed that from him.
Is it Jason or Bane?
There is both. Jason and Bane, which we're about to get to in about 2 seconds. So Reigns and Uso beat Sheamus and Corbin. And man, I almost texted you on the weekend. I said, I save it. I am so happy with how Roman, from we just talked about shitty acting. Fantastic. Roman is doing this so fucking well. And the writing is very fucking good, how they are making him bad guy. And he was hugging fucking the Uso, which you're waiting for him to fucking drop him, right? And nope. Totally, I'm your best friend. Fucking Uso leaves all happy. And the face on Roman and looking at Paul like, I'm going to kill him when it's the match time. I love this bad guy, Roman. They're doing it correctly. Not even just that. Roman's a bad guy, yay. Roman's doing it's a fantastic bad guy role that they're doing.
Yeah, the subtle bad guy is much better. The only issue that I have with it, first of all, this match was good as well. Uso ends up getting the pin, and Roman is unhappy to use his belt, but Uso never sees that look. All he sees is him smiling and they're hugging and stuff, and then he walks away.
Letting those teeth blaze.
Yeah, and that was crazy as well, because he was like almost leaving that smile there. It's like he was trolling, but yeah, then he walks away and then he has that look that Paul sees. The only issue is Uso is such a dumb idiot, right? He's both stupid because he can't see what's going on, and he's just annoying. And I can imagine as well, another podcast picked up on this as well, I reckon he's really like that. I reckon that he's this hype and annoying and unself-aware in real life, and you want to see Roman kill him. That's the only issue with it, because he's so annoying, like, that you want to see Roman kill him. Other than that, it's been done perfectly, and after this, Roman will move on to guys that you don't want him to kill. Well, some fans won't. Like, there's not a lot of people that I like on the SmackDown roster. I mostly like the heels, like Sheamus and Roman, but we'll see where he can move on to. I wouldn't be surprised if it was... I mean, it's too early for Big E. I think it's going to be Kofi. I think that's what I think will be next. It looks like it's...
Really?
It's probably going to be... Well, there's Kofi's talking about Roman in videos on WWE's website and stuff. But the theme is going to be probably the Hell in a Cell match, because he has the wobbly walrus. I'm talking maybe after that. So, yeah, I imagine you do kill Kofi, and then Big E wins the Rumble and chooses you. But they are so far away from Big E being ready for that that I wouldn't bother doing it.
We get into Raw, and right off the bat, the logo's fucked up, the intro's fucked up, so we say, okay, it's Retribution again, they're busy, they come on the air and Retribution runs to the ring. And now they all have masks. And here's the funny thing is because later in the show...
But Vader masks. They have Vader masks or Bane masks. We were talking about Vader last week.
They have Bane. They have Hannibal Lecter. They have Jason. And so they go, oh, we got a contract. Which, that right off the... I go, boy, oh boy, this is fucked up right off the bat. So you're destroying my company and causing problems and... You're just thugs off the street, you know, jumping into our control booth, ripping the ring apart. Fuck it. We'll give you a contract.
No, but that's the thing. That was the only part that they did well later on in the show, because they did turn around and say the commentators did this part well. Who gave them the contracts? And then they did say that a few times. How did they get these contracts? Who gave them the contracts? Who allowed them to do this? So there is a person inside who's going to turn heel.
I don't trust shit.
Okay, but they alluded to it twice. Now, it could just be Adam Pearce gave him the contract, and he's the main leader of Retribution, which I wouldn't even be surprised with it at this point because it's so fucking stupid. but it's got to be Triple H or Shane, and Shane's already involved on stuff on TV, so. I would think it has to be Triple H, but
we all thought this had to do with Raw Underground, right? Like originally, it was like people from Raw Underground. We thought. I laughed because I said, "Okay, we know who they are, right?" And you know, we've all said that. And I mean, you see Mia Yim fucking clearly. But it appears later on because everyone has different names now, and we haven't got Mia Yim's name. But I'm like, okay, so all of the NXT stuff, we don't know about that anymore. That's gone.
Well, they have mentioned about lack of opportunities and things of that nature. So I think they may link it to NXT, but they're not even mentioning that they are disgruntled employees from the company.
But they're just taking away names, too? They're not going to be who they were?
I've no idea. It doesn't
We'll
doesn't
get
look
to their
like
names
it.
Later on, finally, when we get there. Lawler's back. I was like, oh, okay, so I guess that, you know, he's not worried about COVID. That's why he's back.
No, I mean, that wasn't his choice to go away anyway. He made the spaghetti comment and then he was
gone. Oh, God.
And they sent him home.
Jesus Christ. Ray's daughter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, she's on the show a lot now. She's talking and everything now. Mm-hmm. But I still find
And actually crazy. A good actress.
Yeah, she, you know what? She looks like a girl that I went out with years ago. Who was actually 19. And I'm talking like 2005, like mm-hmm. before everything. Like there was this girl that I went to that was distantly related to my own family. She was married. Her auntie.
Thank you, Jerry Lee Lewis. Go ahead.
Her auntie was married into my family. So she'd been around since, I've known her since she was about 3 years old. And then she just like, I saw her a couple of places and she was just like unbelievably hot. She looks exactly like Rey Mysterio's daughter. And that's why it all just like clicked for me this week. I was like, that's who it is. That's why you think this girl is like special.
The douche prophets come out and we go, ooh, there's the Raider and Saints game is on.
I do. I then started checking in with that, but that's, I fell asleep and finished it this morning, but I fell asleep with the game on as well. And fuck me, I wake up to like a nightmare with that game because that game just absolutely turned on its.
You know what? I bet the game at halftime like a moron. So we'll get into that on another show we do. Ironically, the show that we do is called the NFL show. So they show in the commercial for this the Undertaker video game commercial, which is a horrible, horrible game. I am not into, I haven't bought one of the WWE games in a fucking 100 fucking years, but they fucked it up so bad last year they had to change everything apparently.
Well, the thing is I was like, there was one game where they had these cartoony gimmicks, and it was No Mercy, I think, on the N64. It ended up having the best gameplay ever. Everybody remembers that. So I'm hoping it's like that, because I'm going to end up getting this thing either way. Not for me, but for Austin. So I'm hoping that it has that kind of gameplay. And I think I don't really have an interest in playing it. So this year, I think it'd be one of those games where you get it on the Switch. The Switch is one of those things where all the kids want it. But then when the games come out, it's like, oh, so what do you want it on? Oh, I want it on my Xbox. Oh, I want it on my PS4 because I want to fucking play this on the TV and everything and see it like in full flow. So there's, you never end up buying Switch games.
But isn't that good for the Switch because you put it on the TV?
Yeah, but when you put Switch on TV, it's not as good as the PS4 or the Xbox. It just, it has the Switch graphics that transfer over to the TV.
We get goofy commentary, and they're going off with the fam shit. And
it's unbearable. It makes the match unbearable. And what's even more insane is who wins it.
Like, well, we didn't even say who's in the match. It's a triple threat tag match. Let's see. It's Dominic and Umberto. It is Murphy and Rollins. And it is, who's the last?
Garza and...
Oh, Andrade.
Which is unbelievable to me.
That shows you how much of interest this is, at least for me, because who wins the match?
The team who have faced the Street Profits for 6 months.
The one I forgot. we get them again. And boy, I don't know if this is just a holding pattern or what, but they're taking fucking forever with this. Now we get to see the Black Doorman holding open the door again. And he's very excited, Billy.
He's very excited. And Shane's hyping up the whole night. And he's really looking forward to it. But do you realize that he's never fucking seen anything that happens inside? He probably doesn't even know what it looks like.
He has DVR.
Yeah, he's like, he must watch it on the TV screen. It must be a TV screen outside of the building. I don't even understand why he needs to be there, because anybody is invited anyway. So it has like the worst door policy. It doesn't have a dress code. It doesn't have an age restriction. It doesn't have any kind of restriction at all. It's the place where you least need a doorman in the world. It's the dumbest thing. And then he's talking about it, about how much he looks forward to it. And he's getting more lines. Maybe he's going to emerge as the star of the show, because the person I thought they were going to make from this isn't clearly the person they're going to make from this, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I'm like, is this guy going to wrestle or what? Because he's fucking enormous. He's like fucking 7-something. Okay. The KO show with Shane, actually. And I noticed that Kevin Owens has more tattoos, and they're horrible.
I don't even notice tattoos on people anymore, unless it's someone like Jericho who didn't have any, and then he gets like one. Well, or when Cody destroys his neck.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy shit. But like, I mean, we knew Owens didn't have shit before, and all of a sudden he ended up with like zoo tattoos with pandas, and now he has, you know, dinosaur bones. He has on his forearm a skeleton of a fucking Triceratops. What the fuck?
I always find it weird when I got my tattoos when I was in like the best physical shape that I was in. So like to show them off and stuff. Now, sure. Like I'm not in that physical shape, or I haven't been for a couple of years, you know, just carrying around, you know, 7 or 8 pounds more than I want to. And if I was thinking about getting more tattoos, which I would need to get, I would 100% have to do that first. I don't understand people that put tattoos on fat bodies. So if I was Owens, I wouldn't have any.
I once tormented a fucking guy. He got a fucking tattoo, right? And he pulls up his sleeve and he's all proud. Like, he's like showing me. And I go, you going to get some arms to go with that tattoo? He slowly pulled his fucking sleeve down and walked away. Davocado comes out, which now they've done the right thing. Where they fucked up with Keith Lee, making him change his clothes, they've done the correct change of clothes for Davocado, because him and a wife beater was not a good idea.
The Keith Lee thing is on a different level, though. I mean, I don't think this Davocado is overweight in any way. So, I mean,
well, he got titties. When he ends up,
yeah, but I mean, when he ends up wrestling, it'll be a lot easier to cover up and whatnot. And at the moment, it's not that noticeable because it's not that prominent. Mm-hmm. The thing with Keith Lee is that we've seen him for years doing something else, being something else, and succeeding as something else. And Davocado is a fresh coat of paint. He's achieved nothing. So whatever experimentation you want to do with him, you can do it now. With Keith Lee, to fuck up everything that you've done is very different to compare it to this.
We get Shane turn a little bit heelish here, of course. And
why were they piping in Shane O'Mac chance?
That was interesting. Yeah, he got a... He got chance, virtual chance. But we're going to get Davocado versus Owens. And, of course, we get Hot Topic shows up and beats up Owens. I laugh that he wears this, like, wrap around his head for his eye. Meanwhile, doesn't use it during wrestling. And I think the whole reason is because it fucking falls off.
Right. I mean, he could just get an eye patch if they really wanted to go ahead with it, but no. I mean, the black eye thing I think is fine. At least they did something. I don't know how doing that to your eye would turn it black. In WWE world, it would. Mm-hmm. Like when Jake's eye turned white when the moderate Martel sprayed it. But it's fine.
You mentioned Keith Lee's outfit before. Now, you're very much an expert in betting. You've made a lot of money through the NFL and through gambling with the soccer, wrestling, everything else. You're worldwide known, Billy. In your professional betting experience, can they make him look less fat by choosing another outfit finally?
I'm 100% certain that there's no chance that they can put him in anything that doesn't make him look fat, unless it's like fucking a baggy Keith Lee t-shirt with some like shorts underneath, then that would be at least some way to hide it. But it doesn't seem like they're going down that route, even though they even did that with Corbin, and all they were trying to hide was the fact his belly turns into like a mouth when he wrestles.
A frown. Remember, he had
that. Yeah. That smiley, that frowny and smiley face. This is ridiculous. So this week they come out the Vader outfit, and they go with the Vader outfit tucked in with the shorts on the outside. It looks fucking horrendous. Like, it seems to just be getting worse and worse with him.
Well, I think this was last week as well. He had the King Kong Bundy outfit on.
No, he had King Kong Bundy. This week he had King Kong Bundy with the shorts over it. He had white shorts, the white shorts this week with the black. Do you not see?
Yeah, but what did he have last week? It was all black?
All Bundy. All Vader.
Okay. All right. Because I was like, well, I think it's the same thing. It's just different color shorts, right? So it stands out more that it's separated.
Oh, man. I mean, I want him to get injured, and he should want to get injured, and then he can come back and maybe they can start again. And the thing is that he's on the premise of losing every match before someone comes in and interrupts. Like, he had that one win over Orton, but he was going to lose to Orton every time. And then he's obviously going to lose to Drew unless someone's going to kick out the Claymore, which they haven't. So he's done. Like, he's done now. Like, there's no way. I mean, I'm sure they'll try, but you've already like damaged all of his credibility with his music gone, his outfit changes. He can't beat anybody. I mean, he had in the 24-hour spell, he beat Orton and Ziggler, and I would much preferred it if, can you just imagine how much differently we're talking about him if he'd come in with his old music in his old attire, and he'd had a couple of wins over Dolph Ziggler and Andrade and whoever else you can give him down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be so on his way right now. You'd know that he was heading towards the Royal Rumble as a contender, or that he was going to be on this Raw team at Survivor Series or whatever. He'd be credible, 100%. Just unbeaten, starting down the bottom, same old stuff from NXT. This is a fucking disaster. This is the disaster of the year. Is this? I'm not even calling it a push. This coming up to the main roster for him. I can't imagine that it could have been done. If you even imagine the worst thing that they could have done, which I would think would be, when you see him coming in with Orton, you can see it being, okay, he loses his first match. But they think that because he competed with Orton, he's fine. But for you to turn around and say, Keith Lee's going to come in, they're going to change his music that everybody knows, they're going to keep fucking around with his outfits, he's going to look like he's going to lose to everybody, they're going to make his promos even worse. I don't know if that's their fault or his fault with that cadence, but the fact he's been given more time to talk and given more stuff to say has made him look really weak. I will not accept this guy as WWE champion in this current way. He needs to go away or turn heel or something. Like, I mean, am I exaggerating here, or is this so fucking bad that he's lost nearly everything that they made him?
Yeah, and this is typical WWE fashion. They try to redo something that was working. It's like the first time Vince has seen the guy or something, and he has to get... It's like, I can't have something that doesn't have my handprints all over it.
But your handprints are covered in shit. Like, you had diarrhea, and you were wiping your ass, and more came out, and you didn't realize... And then you went and started to fucking
fingerprint,
and you started to like tidy up white towels. That's what this is.
Orton has a generic interview after he talks on microphone after he DQs this match, because right when the match started between Keith Lee and Drew, I wrote in the notes, I wonder if we're gonna get a clean finish. So. Like you said, it's known that Keith Lee would have lost to Drew because he claymores him, and then constantly Orton trying to re-break Drew's jaw, holding a chair to it and pushing on it. Asuka has her little bit in the back where we have all these number one contenders. They want a piece of Asuka. And I laugh right off the bat. It's Billie Kay. I go, yeah, she should have a fucking title shot for Asuka. And then we get Peyton, which is very odd because they're like, oh, yeah, we're still friends, even though we're not, you know.
I knew this would happen.
Tag team. It's like they're just trying to. Didn't they try to separate them for like 1 week and they said, fuck this?
Yeah, because there's nothing. There's nothing that Billie Kay can do. So she's obviously. Through this wanting to push Peyton as a singles wrestler, and I mean we'll talk about it later, but I mean Peyton's not great either at the wrestling, but yeah, I mean Billy's even worse, so they can't separate them. They think maybe they know they want to veer Peyton off singularly, but there's nothing for Billy to do, and also they don't work as individuals either. Like Peyton at least needs her there to play off, to talk, because mm-hmm. the Iconics talking bits are not the problem. It's the in-ring. And quite clearly, Peyton is the one that you want to get behind. So it was inevitable to me. I even predicted it, that they didn't want to fully have Peyton attack her or do anything like that, because they know that they may have to bring these two back together. Obviously, not 1 week later, but I think that Billy will be the manager of Peyton, especially based on this.
It's funny because, yeah, Peyton screwed Billy, throwing her in the ring in the fucking underground thing. And then beats her in the ring, which we think they're going to, like, attack her afterwards, and they hug. And now it's just, she's just there. Zelina has a match, and she goes against Mickey James. Didn't we hear last week that Mickey dislocated her shoulder, and that's why the ref fucking stopped this match? And they even allude to the referee said Mickey couldn't continue, and Mickey addresses this. And she doesn't address it. She just says, I never gave up.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm like, what the fuck? We got to find out the real fucking story, because obviously the dislocated shoulder was some bullshit from some fucking person that doesn't know shit out there. So Zelina's wrestling now. I think it's just because they don't have enough people.
It's so fucking dumb. I just find it unbelievable that she's out there wrestling. And from the only thing that was generating any interest in seeing Garza and Andrade have like 15 title shots was that she was capable of building it back up again, or making it credible. But now it's like they're out there having their 500th match for the title, and she's out there wrestling against Oscar. Her record until she beat Mickey in this match, which was so fucking clunky as well, was about 2-70. And she's getting a title match. This card, I don't know if we want to talk about it here or later on, but the way that they've put it together for some of these title matches, I think the Lucha House Party, yeah, they have the title match on SmackDown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lena has the title match for the Raw Women's title. Nikki Cross is facing Bayley again. Then we have like the Street Profits facing Garza and Andrade again, and Apollo Crews is getting a rematch against Lashley, which is no reason to do. How do you have any interest in these five matches? Like half the card, over half the card is utter shit that you don't need to see.
Yeah, I mean, a pay-per-view is just on to be a pay-per-view at this point.
Shayna and Jax against the fucking Riot Squad.
Which, yeah, I don't even get me started with the fucking... with what they've done to Liv after bringing her back with a gimmick and put her she was.
We'll be on that later. So, I mean, Zelina wins this match against Mickey. She had a dislocated shoulder last week and she wrestles, and they don't even touch on that. Because obviously it's not... I mean, a dislocated shoulder just goes back in. So,
well, you kind of got to be... you can't do normal activities in a week after you put it back in. It's not like a Lethal Weapon where he puts it back in and just is normal again. Hurt Business beats up the Retribution jobbers in the back, and they don't unmask anyone. And then we get a Bianca Belair. a vignette, I guess. Where...
So I'm going to let you cover these next two bits because I didn't add anything to the notes here. So these are all your two bits now.
They do the EST, so I think they're going to go through everything. And this week is Strongest. And she sees a guy doing pull-ups, so she goes and does more pull-ups than the guy. He can't flip over a fucking tire. She goes and flips over the tire. And then he can't do fucking overhead press, so she does overhead press. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It's vignettes for a character that's already debuted, which makes no sense. Because
she went away for 2 weeks.
Yeah, because they completely fucked her up, but they actually have no idea what they're doing with her. So,
and then possibly the worst segment I've ever seen on Raw. You know, there has been a lawyer who was supposed to be from Russia on the show that talked like he was from Chicago. Remember that with Lana? The Russian lawyer? Was fucking... I'm trying to think of like, what are the worst things we've ever seen? Because R-Truth on a beach with a shark killing Tozawa, apparently, and him talking to an imaginary friend and losing his title in the ocean and having to find it and fight a shark. All it reminded me of was the Batman movie from the 1960s. And you know what? Maybe this is what Vince went crazy with this week, because obviously he watched Dark Knight, and maybe he watched the 60s Batman show too. Remember the shark that was attached to Batman's leg when he was in the fucking ocean and he had to use shark repellent to get it off?
I don't think I've seen this, but yeah.
Oh my God. You need to watch the 60s Batman movie. You will fucking lose your mind. But this is what went on. They were fighting a shark in the ocean. I 100% thought a shark would win the 24/7 title. That's what I was waiting for.
I find it unbelievable that this probably required some actual effort, like in terms of this was actually a shoot that they would have spent a day on to go out and say, oh, we need this to be on Raw this week. We need to go out and shoot this, and it's going to be a segment on Raw. Like there was time and effort.
There was time and effort put into this.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Let's see. What do we have next? Alexander, his push lasted 2 weeks because he loses to Apollo.
Yeah.
And they're still wanting to have Apollo versus Lashley for the U.S. title.
Yeah, that's the thing. I only found out about it here, and this is where I tried to sort of break down this card, and I just couldn't believe it. Because slowly, they've been adding, and you think, that's not good. But then the way they announced this, because it was done like during the match after Apollo got the win, and Lashley attacked him, and then they randomly went, oh, they're going to have their match this Sunday. And I was like, what? They're doing that again? I mean, I didn't expect another U.S. title contender, but knowing that every belt is on the line, and then you start to analyze and look through, and it's fucking rough. I mean, if you hadn't seen the builds for Roman and Uso, that would look out of place too. But below that, the ladder match and the Drew and Orton match, which the story for that match is totally fucked as well. I mean, my interest in that is at half of what it was for the SummerSlam match. It's not a good fucking card at all this weekend, but you can still gamble on it, so it's still worth listening to my preview show, which I'm going to put out on my Patreon.
Yes. Dolph beats that Arturo guy, who is in Underground, and they have a, you know, grappling match. And then Storm from the X-Men is now the new announcer, since I guess they had room, since Renee is gone.
So, you know what's funny? There's a couple of observations I made. First of all, like, going back to that, to her business, they're heels in this feud and baby faces in another, which is so dumb. And then this guy, Arturo, you know, he could beat up everybody on this roster except Brock. Like in real life, he could actually beat everybody up, and he has to lose in the Underground to Ziggler. But even in Ziggler could beat most people up in this company, even though he's a comedian, like Shawn Michaels wannabe guy in wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, he's a collegiate guy, so we know he can actually wrestle if he fucking wanted to.
Lots to say now. Here we move on to. I mean, this is what
I was in shock
talking about. This was in our group chat straight away this morning. So let's give this a chunk of time. Actually, we're only 40 minutes in the show. We've done all right.
So. Yeah, 43 so far. They were about to do a paternity test with the Mysterio family. Seth came to the ring and said, Dominic doesn't look like he's Rey's son, and I got a paternity test to find this out. And my head is smoking at this point, where how are they not saying that he's Eddie's son? Because during that storyline, they never denied that he was Eddie's son. They said like he was, and that Rey adopted him. So there was none of that, you know, I didn't know he wasn't my son thing. And so now Seth is doing the whole, this is not your son. And they say, this has been done before. We've heard this before. Which, I don't know why they wouldn't mention the Eddie thing. I mean, if they're saying this has been done before, they're talking about it. And then he says, oh, it's actually Aaliyah who's not the real kid. Now we're switching to her. And it's because she was compassionate to the guy who was killing her family.
This was so stupid. He was like going, oh, actually, I may have made a mistake. I realized I only asked my guy to find out if Ray's kid was his kid. And maybe he found out about Aaliyah. It's like, mate, just fucking have a clue what you're going to talk about before you start this. Just kind of go out and say, one of your children, the way you do this, you say, one of your children isn't yours. And then you say, and he goes, oh, we've done this before. We've been here, we've done that, or whatever. He goes, oh, and then Seth goes, oh, no, I'm not talking about Dominic. I'm talking about Aaliyah. It's just so much easier to just do it like that.
Yeah.
To actually make sense of it. But how many notes have I got here?
Well, how about the wife looked okay because we saw her big fat ass with a PH when she walked out. They showed them from behind. They said,
yeah,
ah,
so
I talk about
the wife later, but I'll look at my notes here. And I basically pointed out that Ray obviously has decided here to pay for his wife to have some Botox and to fix that hair, because there's no way that he's going to let her go on TV every week and people say, oh, you're married to her. Like, so there's no way that he's not spent some money on her to be on TV every week, because she looks different. Like, she's obviously had something done to her face and they had her hair sorted out and whatnot. So they needed to do that. Because
she wasn't wearing a Louis Vuitton fucking shirt. This time Dominic was.
This family are the worst. I mean, that Aaliyah is the only one who knows how to dress, because I'm sure that she dresses herself and buys her own clothes with his money, but uses it more wisely than the stuff that the others have to wear. I mean, they must think that fucking Louis Vuitton is the fucking be all and
end all. It has to be for them, because that's all they wear.
I can fucking see this shit in their house is like fucking Louis Vuitton couches and fucking all over the place. Just like Louis Vuitton came into their house and fucking threw up and took a shit all over the place. It's fucking disgusting. And I mean, this obviously.
Well, it's like someone who never had money that came into it and they don't know what to do and go, oh, this is status. I have to buy this.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Everybody's got that fucking Louis Vuitton, had that fake Louis Vuitton wallet or bag, or you see loads of girls with, you know, with the brown, you know, the brown one that everybody has.
That's ugly as hell.
Right, but it's still kind of like the trademark thing to have. Whereas this fucking shirt, who would wear this? Who would pay for this? I have no idea. I just don't understand this family, like, in terms of it's Ray and his son mostly. The wife has bought some shitty stuff, which Ray probably bought for her. I think it's Ray who's the one that's like really into this. But the thing is that this week he's only there with the gray crew cut jumper. I have loads of those. I think that looks fine. It's always like there's always one who draws the short straw in this family. That's what I've noticed. There's always one person who's dressed terribly, but it's never the daughter. She always looks fucking fantastic.
You're blinded on her as well. So
am I?
Oh yeah. No matter what, you're gonna like what she's busy with, I think. But Ray says she's naive and she gets pissed off and leaves. That's like the climax of this.
Yeah, you're 19 and you're naive, and like everybody's hard when they hear that line.
I rewound it because I thought I missed something.
Yeah, but 19 and naive is what you want it to be, because that's great. But the whole story is Bruce Pritchard and living up to his nickname, which the wrestlers call him Copy Paste High Five. That's what they call him and Kevin Dunn. They call Bruce Copy Paste, and when they're together, they call him Copy Paste High Five. So this is Copy Paste again. I didn't even think Rollins was into it, and there's being shocking, and doing stuff for storyline purposes to add shock value, and to keep the story going. But then there's the stuff that's stupid, and to like bring all this illegitimate stuff up again is stupid. You could have just turned around and said and mentioned about what happened with Murphy and gone down a completely different route.
I mean, I can't disagree with any of this. I just from the get-go, when you said that they should have said you already went down this path, has already been gone down, and he says, no, I'm talking about your daughter. I mean, just from that little simple thing by itself.
But why go down the illegitimacy route? Why not just say, I want to bring you out here and say, do you know where your daughter is or whatever? Or just to say, like, did you see what happened?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there was no reason for that, the copy-paste deal. Let me get to the squash match, which I think we both find very fucking funny, that Lana and Natty form this team. And now all they do is get their ass fucking... Natty must be like, why the fuck did I get teamed with you?
The thing is that it's difficult to feel sorry for her because it's her. Because even this week, it's like she posts video and she's all in her, like, you know, her obnoxious ways that she is on Instagram. That voice, like, I understand, like, obviously I'm English and American people have that American accent, but she has this American accent, which we associate to the girls on, like, Mean Girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, that accent, that fucking,
like,
annoying,
Valley Girl type of girl, yeah.
Yeah, gets under your fucking skin kind of accent and attitude. And she's on Instagram, she's going, hello, the guys are, like, reaching out to me to say, like, do more wrestling. I'm going to see more wrestling from you and all this. And she goes, so now I'm going to show you guys that I actually wrestle. First of all, Jesus. You wrestle like shit. You wrestle like shit, right? So to tell people that I actually practice this a lot is fucking embarrassing, right? It's like, I would be like, oh, I just roll straight out of bed and I look like this. You know, that kind of, I'd go down that route. It'd be like, well, I don't even try at this and I can still do it. Imagine if I trained. Like, I would be going more down that route. But to turn around and show us that you go to a fucking training facility on you in your own time on Saturdays and you're this bad is just fucking embarrassing. So it's really hard to feel sorry for her because she's a vapid cunt anyway, and she kind of deserves this. But if it was anybody else, you look at this company, and this company is pathetic. She's pathetic and the company are pathetic. And if you look, but if it was anyone else, you'd have more sympathy, because this is definitely a burial because her fucking husband left and he's with another company. Because Natalia, who's the victim in all this, but for years, she's been lucky to have a fucking job because she's not a great wrestler. Mm-hmm. She's terrible in Total Divas. She's annoying. She's the most annoying person in Total Divas. I find it unbearable in every episode. She's just a whiny, entitled moron in Total Divas. And she should never, ever have had this job for 11 years. So the fact that she was heading towards a title match with Oscar again, and she's unfireable, and she's seen as this staple of the women's division is ridiculous to me, because she ain't that good. She's nothing to look at. She's nothing in the ring. She's annoying in Total Divas. She's incredibly stolen an income for 11 years. So I can't feel sorry for either of them. But if I had to, she's the one who's done nothing wrong. And Rusev goes to AEW and they're getting fucking killed. First of all, last week by Liv and Ruby, who are sitting at ringside doing commentary, and they are shit even for the 1 minute that they're talking about. Ruby's thing is like, we're attacking. They're not real tag team. We're attacking. We're tag team. We're real tag team. You broke up for like a year and we're killing each other. Like, now how are you a real fucking tag team? And the fat little one went off and got pregnant by one of the Viking Raiders. And you're sitting here, like, you're trying to, like, fill 1 minute of commentary and you're fucking bad. Liv says nothing. The only good thing to come out of this is that Liv was in fishnet stockings. And that's it. That's the only redeemable part of it. Shayna and Nia get nothing out of it. And then Lana goes through the table. Again, the table spot was so unnecessary. And the fact that losing in 1 minute was so unnecessary. I don't even know. Maybe you noticed. Was Natalia even in the ring? Because I didn't even know if she got in.
Oh, fuck the whole match. You're right.
Because Lana tapped in a minute. Lana was in there and she tapped in a minute. I don't know if Natty got in. If she did, she started a full.
Natty,
like,
might have started it.
And tagged out. So
she should never tag out.
It's fucking nuts here. Like, this match is happening on Sunday. That's stupid. Liv and Ruby can't talk. That's fucking stupid. Natalia and Lana are getting buried because Rusev works at AEW. But you don't feel sorry for either of them because Natty's stolen money for 11 years and Lana is the worst human on the planet. So all in all, everything here comes out even. So it's pointless.
Aaliyah is in the back pouting and or sulking, one of those. And she's sitting on one of the, you know, crates in the back. And Murphy comes by, which he says, if I did anything to, you know, hurt you, I apologize. I'm like, you try to kill her family and blind everybody. What do you mean if I did anything? And so we're going to get, I think this is Vince feeling bad because Murphy's not with Alexa anymore. So he's like, I'm going to let you, you know, fuck this 19-year-old on TV.
And that's the thing, it's so funny. I feel like he has some kind of fetish for it, because I think because she grew up in a company, and I feel like he says, we had her from when she was a little baby. now we're gonna take her virginity. It belongs to me.
you've signed a contract. Your virginity belongs to me now.
Someone probably interrupts and goes, yeah, she only showed up when she was 9. Like, the first time we saw her was in that CM Punk app, but you know, she's not really been here since she was because Vince probably like thinks that she's grown up in the WWE.
Yeah, I was in the hospital with her.
She grew up here, damn it. And you'd be like, no, Vince, she was only there, she was 9. Shut up. That's my bitch. That's my virginity. I imagine that's what they're trying to fucking, that's the story they're trying to fucking tell. Like, in terms of, she's been here the whole time, she grew up in the WWE, and now we're going to see, like, her first romance. I mean, he did this, I said this on Ruto show, they did this with Stephanie. This is, like, the whole thing where Stephanie was around, and then she got kidnapped with Undertaker, and then she, like, ends up fucking going with Test and Triple H and all that. Like, you know, remember Tess was her first boyfriend ever, mm-hmm. when
yes.
really, like, she'd been getting,
and she was gonna get married.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, like, Macho Man's been fucking her. When she's like 14. Oh no. And I like to think it's this is similarly it. There is some kind of definite, like, little fetish that they have, although they're getting some little thrill out of the fact that they get to do something to raise, sexualize, raise daughter at 19. Well, I have no problem with it at all, but I just know how they're thinking as well. The funniest thing here is that they will fuck this up, because here's the ways that they can go with it. This is how I feel they can go. So it's Murphy getting with her, right? They all fall in love, and he turns on Steph because he, like, is into her, and they all just fucking kill Rollins, and Ray just accepts him as, you know, her boyfriend, right? And they just all kill Seth, and Seth goes away, ironically, to have his own baby, uh-huh. which can be illegitimate in storyline later. And the other way they can go is that Murphy is doing this for Seth to win him back. Like, he's going to fuck his daughter.
That's what I think.
And then he's going to dump her, and then Seth's going to, like, appreciate it. He's going to love it, right? or she's going to turn... He is with Seth still, but she's going to turn and she's going to be with Seth as well. So they're going to be like all three of them together. You could do any one of these. They're all.
But they won't. They'll do something horrible.
They'll fuck you up. They won't take any of these stories that I would do.
I 100% agree with they'll fuck this whole thing up. Right. Let's.
But any you agree that any three of those can be good, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Even if it's the super babyface one, the first one, which is the worst one, but even if it is.
Yeah. So Moss kills Eric from the Viking Raiders in the underground, because Eric has nothing to do now that his partner's gone. And then we have Asuka versus Peyton, as we kind of talked about earlier. And then Zelina shows up, and it's a DQ, and slaps her in the face, setting up their match.
25 minutes to go when this match starts. Mm-hmm. And I know at this point you're going to get nothing at the end, but somehow that whatever's left, including that retribution match, still feels long because it's fucking awful. But we'll get to it because we've got Raw Underground first, and I'm shocked by this Raw Underground too.
Braun and Dabba Kato, which I thought there's no way there's going to be a finish.
Yep.
Because you can't screw the new guy with a mm-hmm. loss, and Braun is so pissed off. I was really hoping they would not have Braun lose, which I was waiting for, kind of, because it's the new guy they want to push. But I'm like,
I had such a good idea for this match, but they didn't do it.
What was your idea?
I think, like, they just basically they're like fighting, and then you, like, just go through the wall, and then that black guy gets taken out on the other side of the wall, right?
Yeah,
and he starts fighting. It's all three of them, like these three fucking huge guys, like all fucking just fighting, and that's the end of, like, Raw Underground this week.
That works too. You can't have a winner, but
no,
they did.
But they did. They had a winner, and I just feel like it's
shocked.
Weird because we criticize him, right? Or it's like, oh, this is a non-finish. Oh, that's or Keith Lee and Drew. That's guaranteed to be no.
And then they have a finish, and we criticize.
Yeah, they have a finish, but the thing is, you don't need a finish. They're like Braun for me. right? And this is like, and I like this guy a lot at one point, but he's washed up now. He's been wasted. He ruined himself on social media when he, have you seen his thing where he dances in a thong and comes on his table and
he comes on a table.
he walks onto someone's table for their birthday and he dances in a thong and
Jesus.
He paints himself as the Incredible Hulk. And
I saw the paint.
And off TV, like, it's been years of like bad promos and bad matches, and even this whole like running with the whole indie audience where, you know, he made like controversial comments about people and having no sympathy for them, you know, losing money or whatever he said. I have no idea, like, off the top of my head. But the point is that I don't think that you can go anywhere with him. I think he's like completely done. Maybe you squeeze like one match out of Drew, because quite clearly he's on Raw and they're not going to bother doing this through the draft, or they may make it official at some point. But you don't feed him this guy at all. It was fine what they were doing for weeks. I did not see this coming at all. With this, and now it's difficult to see what you do with the other guy, because I thought the Raw Underground was completely built around trying to get Darby Kato like wins and train him in the background and let him win here for, you know, 4 or 5 months, and then he can win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal in Mania, then he's away. Maybe him and Braun are gonna go at it for, you know, the whole year, and this is going to be a continuous thing where they fight in different ways. But this was pretty emphatic win. It was pretty much, you know, done. He beat him easy.
The main event, Retribution versus the Hurt Business, and we get the names for Retribution, and that's Slapdick, Teabag, and Pepper Spray.
Oh, I tell you this, I'm just overcome with sadness in this whole match, because I literally think to myself, I want to watch NWO DVD right now. I need to put something on and I need to watch how the NWO was done. I miss Hall, I miss Nash. Like, they feel like the most underrated people in the world right now for the way that it was done. Then I start missing Jerry Lawler from the 90s, because he's fucking shit. Like, everybody knows that he's been terrible for years with his old rusty crusty joke book that he brings out and everything. Yeah. He says that T-Bar stands for That Boy Ain't Right. This is the guy who fucking stepped into like Bobby Heenan's shoes on TV, who was like the best co-commentator ever. And then Lawler's like right up there with his zingers and whatnot, and the things he would come out with commentary. He's wrestling at the same time. Do you remember the stuff? Helen Hart, Stu Hart, Roddy Piper, Jake the Snake, all the stuff that he did. This is the same guy. And he says T-Bar stands for That Boy Ain't Right. This is fucking sad. Well, I'm sad
T-Bar.
About Lawler.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sad about the NWO. I'm sad about Lawler. This is fucking shit. This is worse than Nexus. And that was like badly like fucked up.
So,
and then we get like and this ends with a DQ that ends because someone on the outside hit somebody. But the whole time, these guys who got a contract this week are doing their match, they're tagging in, they're tagging out. Like, I thought, okay, if you've left 7 minutes, this is going to end up being like some big finish to Raw. But they actually like wrestle for like 6 of the last 7 minutes. And all that happens is there's a DQ, the midget Retribution people come in, and then Drew comes out with the Raw jobbers and cleans house. It's like, this is the equivalent of Sting coming out with the baby faces in week two and clearing the NWO out. I'm not even going to insult NWO again and talk about them in the same breath as these guys. I mean, they're way below Nexus at this point. I don't think this is I don't think this is going to be big. Like, I don't care who gave them their contracts. Like, this can't be big at this point.
Their names that they actually give them are Slapjack, T-Bar, and Mace. So I'm like, okay, so everyone is changing their names, and that's where I'm like, oh no. So I'm like, okay, Mia Yim's gonna be Molotov Cocktail.
Okay, what about when they lose to the WWE, like the roster guys, and then they go back to and they're singles wrestlers again, like what happened with the next
I mean, some people have their face covered enough to where they could just be done, go away, and come back as their normal NXT self. But people like Mia Yim, where you could see her completely and her hair and everything. But I always like to say, let's see what they do. But this is rough. This is real rough.
Yeah. The show actually ends like when they've fucking run all these guys out again. And Orton sneaks in and RKO's Drew.
Yeah.
And that's it. And to which point I say, Chiefs, Ravens next week.
That's good. The main event next week.
Good fucking luck. Good fucking luck. I ain't not watching a second of Raw. Not even starting Raw next week with that game on.
You need the two TVs. You need multiple TVs I have. That's
that. I watch this in the morning. That's the AFC Championship game on week three. Like, they are getting fucked next week. It's going to be the record low. For me, it's going to be a case of how much you beat the record by. Because I think I would take 1.4 right now and just be like, okay, fine, cool, 1.4. Because there's no way they don't break the record next week.
Well, that is the wrestling show this week. And you know what, Billy? Me actually telling everybody they need to fucking sign up on my Twitter at Lingus Mafia worked last week. I got a good handful of people who actually did that. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And if you haven't, please do. Because I think at one point, my Twitter's been around for ages for my show. And at one point we got in trouble because I think our most ever was 666. To tell you the truth, and it went down to 650 because we got in trouble with the Jim Ross comments. People started attacking us because we said that that Derek killed Jim Ross's wife, and that fucking people were offended and became the white knight and tried to stick up for JR. So that bullshit. But thank you all for jumping back on. And hope you enjoy my bullshit show that will be on today on Patreon. It'll be on Thursday on regular. Where can we find your nonsense, Billy?
Yeah, I'm going to do a Clash of Champions betting preview over on the Dirty Sheets Patreon. You can get to that by just typing in thedirtysheets.com. Haven't done enough content on that over the last week, so I'll be doing a lot on that this week now that the gambling stuff is calming down a little bit. Because I don't have the previews in that to do anymore, because that was taking, it was like the NFL preview, the EPL preview, then the games as well. Now it's just games each week, so the wrestling stuff will get more of a focus. It'll begin with that preview on thedirtysheets.com. But if you want my gambling stuff, which is going really well this month, it's lockbetting.com. My Twitter is at dirtysheets.com, and I'm at Russo Show, which is now taped on Friday, so go on YouTube. On the YouTube channel for free on Fridays. Shows out on Saturdays. Austin's Instagram is at Austin's Toys, where Russo just gave out his top five Intercontinental Champions of all time on his Instagram. But he does it like this. He goes, was Shawn Michaels an Intercontinental Champion? I'm like, yeah. He goes, okay, I'll have him.
Oh, fuck.
And then he adds Jeff Jarrett here. And he goes, okay, that's my five.
Of course he has Jeff Jarrett.
And Austin goes, who's Jeff Jarrett?
Well, the kid don't lie. On that, I have to go to my shoot job. So I'd like to say, we're out of time!